This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and I really am excited to tell you about a wonderful book that I just read, in fact, devoured. It is a funny, compelling, authentic, sometimes racy, moving, page-turning memoir. And I say page-turning, but I also listened to the Audible version while I read it, which was wonderful because it was in the voice of the author, Christina Ford. And the name of her book is called In Search of Mr. Darcy. And it was very reminiscent of Carrie Bradshaw's Sex and the City, but it's way more. Each chapter and section was devoted to one of the loves of her life, the Jackson years, the book of Brandon, the book of John, the book of Edward, on and on and on, and finally the book of Christina. And there were so many references, everyone, that I related to, that I know you will relate to. Things like having that pink rosé whispering angel by the dock, and just some of the sights and sounds and locations in Toronto. Just so much that I know that our audience can relate to. Your writing is exquisite. It's so full of metaphor. And I can't believe this all started with a blog that you created when you were in England and you had nothing to do while your man at the time was off slaying lions. And this is after you had a very incredible career where you were doing a lot. And anyway, all of this to say, the book is a page turner. It's heartbreaking and hopeful all at the same time, because I think that Christina at heart is an optimistic person. And it's really about Christina pursuing her bliss in love, in friendship, in family. I can't say enough good things about it. So before we meet her, let me tell you a little bit more about her. Christina Ford is a former award-winning TV and film executive who currently divides her time between the UK, the US, and Canada. She channels her wit and experiences into writing her amusing award-winning lifestyle blog, Abroad in London, a survival guide for life, travel, and being sensationally single. A semi-regular guest on BBC's London's radio, A Week in Review, Ford often rants about pop culture, single life, and social media trends. Other humble brags, recipient of the prestigious Women in Film and Television Crystal Award for Excellence in Production. She's listed in Marketing Magazine's 100 Most Influential People in Canadian Communications. Her Genie Award-winning film, Fugitive Pieces, adapted from the award-winning novel by Anne Michaels, opened the 2007 Toronto International Film Festival, TIFF. Christina is known for her adventurous spirit and can often be seen traveling the world searching for the nearest Starbucks, I can so relate to that, arguing with her GPS, or relishing a glass of Chardonnay complete with a single ice cube. I think about that moment in the book where the ice cubes were clinking, but that's a whole other thing. This book marks Christina's debut as an author. Christina Ford, first of all, congratulations on the book. So delightful to have you here. Welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
I am blissfully happy to be here. Thank you. You never sound as good in real life. Wow, God, that sounds impressive. Wait a minute.
It is impressive, and so are you. I was so surprised to learn that this was your first book, because it really is so well written and so evocative. It's unfiltered. It's authentic. It's your memoir. And I wondered if it was therapeutic for you to write about all these relationships that you really had from your teen years to the present. Can you tell us more about that and about your brainchild In Search of Mr. Darcy?
Well, it was therapeutic. I started this after a really bad breakup where, I'll try and condense it, but in writing my blog, which was something I needed to do because I needed to reinvent, I got approached by a literary agent, which was very flattering because I thought it was only my friends and my 12, you know, family members that were reading it. And he said, have you thought about turning the blog into a book? And he was looking for lifestyle tips or what to do in London or these kind of things. But what came out of me as I was going through a very hard time in my relationship was something completely different. And when my relationship went kaboom and the ending, because I won't spoil anything for anybody, because I do think the ending chapter of Edward and how I sort of dealt with his cheating and everything else, I thought was genius. And I can remember, you know, once I stopped crying, a girlfriend said to me, you know, Christina, that's the ending of a really good book.
Absolutely.
And so I started with the ending and I worked back. Wow. And the majority of this book was written during COVID. And I have to say, it's an exaggeration saying it saved my life, but it was my companion. It was my purpose. It was my, me being with all, and sometimes I was laughing out loud. Sometimes I was having a sad little lonely cry.
Yes.
But living alone and having this project gave me purpose. And as a result, the purpose, all of it was therapeutic, because as I started to write and keep on going back and back and back and back, all the way to starting with my childhood and my father. Yes. And we do talk about how fathers have great influences on their daughters.
Yes.
A lot triggered for me, and in a good way. A lot of really lovely emotions came out, and a lot of forgiveness too, which I didn't realize in some regards that I was still not quite there. So yes, it was extremely therapeutic.
So you're referring to your father, that's the Book of Alan. And there's just such wonderful scenes in the book, like when you go out to announce your engagement with Elena, your mom, and Alan, and his reaction, your father's reaction, is not what you expected. He's like, take the money for the house. You don't want a big wedding. And we find out after why he felt that way. But you didn't speak for a year. And then there you are in your bridal gown, and you've helped him pick out one of the three outfits on his bed. And this is after not talking to him for a year. And he's asked for your advice. You give it to him reluctantly, the navy one. And then you get into that limousine in that sort of gown, the wedding gown that you describe almost as like a puff pastry dress.
It was like lots
of frippery, right? And you look to your right, and there he is sitting beside you. And then you realize when he expresses how he feels about walking down the aisle and how he's a little bit nervous, that he really was just phobic about a big wedding, and you forgive him instantly. And you also mention your mother at the end, that there could be a whole other book about her because she was your angel on this planet. And you feel that way.
I am convinced that both of them actually helped write my book for me. Wow. I mean, you know, I'm an atheist by nature, but I do believe that I just didn't write this by myself. I mean, like, who am I to write a book and then sell it and then have it do so well? Yeah. So my parents were very interesting people, but my father was not coming to my wedding. He just refused. He was said no.
Yeah. And so it's all the more poignant when you discover as the reader why he felt that way, which was really his own insecurity about the big crowd. But then he comes to the fore in, you know, in grand style, and it's all beautiful. I also love that you broke down the book into each of the relationships, the Book of Alan, the Book of Brandon, Hurricane Charlie, the Book of Jackson, the Book of John, the Book of Edward, the Book of Christina. Was that a conscious decision, or was that kind of the way you remember these chapters in your life by these men? Much like you also talk about remembering what outfit you were wearing each time you met one of these men. And I love that because it's so true. That's what I wore when I'm not going to say their names, but when I met him, that was the white off the shoulder. Right.
That was the thing. I'm not the only woman who thinks that. I know exactly what I was wearing that night. Like, you know, you can, but don't ask me what I had for lunch yesterday, right? So the structure of the book came later, actually. So I was writing it in chapters, and then I decided to, and anyone who might be out there thinking about writing a book, I would highly recommend taking any sort of writing program, not necessarily a course or degree, but through that and through feedback you get from your mentors or other writers. It was one of the mentors who said, you know, you should divide this into like different books and end with the book Christina.
Yes.
So, yeah, I should. And so that's where that came from.
That's so awesome. Although you had wonderful moments, Christina, wonderful years, in some cases, wonderful decades, and you certainly had a lot of love in your life. You had soulmates. You had perfect people for different seasons of your life. But overall, you've had your share of heartache. And many would say that you've maybe been somewhat unlucky in love. Do you think it was bad luck or timing, or maybe you were not able to recognize the signs from the get-go, or what I first said, that these loves were for a reason, for a season, maybe not for a lifetime?
That's a big question. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, like my niece, when she read the book, and then she said, "Wow, Aunt Christina, you're a real bad chooser." referring to the man I choose. I go, huh. I think I wouldn't call myself unlucky in love, because all of those things brought me right to this point. Did I go through a lot of heartache? I absolutely did. Did I pick the wrong man? Maybe in hindsight, but for the right reasons.
Right.
You know, Brandon, who was my first husband, I picked him because he would make a great father.
Yes.
And I was 25 years old, and that's what I was thinking about, is he would be a great father and he would be loyal. And we'd go to weddings, and you know that the time in your 20s and early 30s where like everyone's getting married and you've got like 12 weddings in one.
Yes. Yes.
And it was that summer, and I would lose him every single time to the little girls who were dancing with the, you know, their little feet on top of him. And I'm going, yeah, like, how can you not marry that guy?
Yes.
Truth of the matter was, I wasn't in love with him.
Yes.
But so I made the choice to marry him for what I thought was the right reason. But I think as we get older and as we learn, we have to differentiate from the voices in our heads. I call them sometimes the terrorists, and your gut feeling. Your gut is going to tell you what's right.
So then you did have the love, though, the love, love, love of your life with John.
Yes.
Right. And everything seemed wonderful there. Everything seemed perfect. And what was it? And I want to make sure I'm not mixing him up with someone, but I think he's the one that proposed 100 times to you, wore the
Yes
t-shirt, right?
Yes,
so
he did. Yes.
Was the reason that you weren't saying yes was that maybe you might have had some doubt? Or just it wasn't the right time? Or what took the 100 proposals for him?
I wasn't trying to mess with his head. But because my marriage with Brandon didn't work out, and I knew the reasons why, I learned my lesson that I wasn't fully committed. I wasn't fully in my heart in love with Brandon.
Right.
With John, I said, I am not going to make the same mistake again. I am not going to be the girl with two failed marriages.
Right.
And so he was always three steps ahead of me. You know,
yes,
he was saying he loved me and he was asking me out. And for your listeners, to put this into context, we worked together.
Yes.
I owned a production company and he was my busiest director.
Yes.
So did I want to, from a totally business perspective,
yes,
sleep with my busiest director and then have it go kaboom as it had, and then I lose that business? Hell no,
right?
So I wanted to make sure, really sure,
yes,
that without a question in my mind, in my heart, in my soul, that this person is the one who I want to be with.
Yes. And I don't know if this is the moment where you saw his hands, but there was a moment where you saw something and you just went, yes, yes, yes. And this all worked. I don't want to give it all away, but just when you became pregnant.
Yes.
And I felt devastated for you in the book when that occurred, because I thought, what the hell is going on here? I mean, what, like, can you give us some more insight into how all of that went down? Because, and I don't want to give it all away, but that was so heart-wrenching to read. I can't imagine having lived it. And I'm wondering if there were any clues, like, you're this hot, you know, girl that he falls in love with, and then you get pregnant, which is like, hello, like, we all do this. This is what we do. And suddenly it's like, what?
You know, a number of women have reached out. I know I'm not alone. So what happened was that my husband, after my body had changed, after having two children, started publicly and privately body shaming me.
So bad.
And I was suffering from postpartum depression, although I didn't know it at the time, because I thought, what do I have to be depressed about? And, you know, it was interesting when I had been writing this book, I'd been reading and listening to a lot of memoirs, and Priscilla Presley had something very similar happen to her. Although she had referred to Elvis having mother issues. So the moment she became a mother, he sort of saw her less as a sexual being and more of a mother. That's not quite what happened with me, although I did run some sort of Elvis comparisons. But it is a horrible feeling, you know, the wear and tear that your body goes through as a woman to create these perfect little human beings.
Right.
You know, and then you are feeding them from your body. It's just like all of a sudden it's like you've grown out, you know, a salami or something, and you're just like you're feeding and when your partner, when your husband is being unkind about it. And
brutal.
I think where, I don't know if in what I was doing, where my attention was not as fully towards him anymore, and I wasn't looking the same. And I know between the first child, I always knew I wanted two was the number I was hoping for. So it wasn't like I was really jumping on losing the weight after I had baby number one, but
right.
One should never, ever have to
say
to your partner to treat you kindly.
No, it was terrible. When you had the makeover and you dyed your hair blonde and you did the boob job and you did all that stuff, that was throughout this period, right? Where you said,
yes, it was.
He's going to come back from this business trip. I'm going to blow him away. Here's another moment where I went, oh my God, this resonates so much. Okay, are you ready for this?
Yes.
I can't believe I'm even going to say this on the air. I dated the executive producer of The Swan. So I flipped when you said that.
Oh no, really? That's so funny.
Yeah. I did. And so that show, I mean, oh my God. And that show was controversial, right? Because it was so extreme.
It was
at the time.
But I was hooked on it like crack. I was it was just like a train wreck. You're watching it go and you're going,
I know. Totally. So I totally got that you were doing all of that. And I'm not going to give this away again, but you do it and you don't get the reaction that you want because something terrible happens before he comes home and you go, whoa, you've got to change your whole course.
Yeah.
And also the thing about the fire story, and I think this is the same guy, he was an alcoholic. He went to light a cigarette on the burner of the stove and suddenly you're engulfed in smoke and flames. You could have died. Like, this was dangerous for you. Like, sometimes in relationships, we know this guy is toxic for me. You know, and there's people that, and all of us have been there, right? That have gone, that have been, we've all been bum magnets, right? We're attracted to the bum. And because they're the coolest and the sexiest and the hot, you know, all those things. But in this case, this was your life. Like, this was like,
no,
that must have been beyond scary.
Yeah, it was interesting. This was not John. Just for clarification, it was an older man who I was with for 2 years. His name was Jackson. And Jackson was an alcoholic who I never saw without a drink. And he was either the poetic, romantic Cary Grant.
Yes.
Or he was the demon. And there was never either. And, you know, I say in my book that you never leave at your lowest point.
Right. Right.
It's six things after that.
Right.
Because
right.
leaving is hard.
Right.
Leaving is hard. Leaving is scary.
Yes.
Like, you know, you don't know what's on the other side. And only when you realize that it is scarier to stay
right.
than to leave.
Right.
Do you make that leap?
And you even had a guy as you were trying to leave, as you were actually getting the guts to leave and wanted to leave and had made up your mind to, that he proposed to you in a big public birthday party for you with all of your friends and family present. How do you say no when someone gets down on one knee and says, will you marry me in front of, you could say no in a restaurant, in a bar, right?
That's why he proposed to me. And like, it was my 30th birthday and every single person I had known since the age of 10 was there.
Right.
And he had done this beautiful video and he was singing, she must have been a beautiful baby. And the next thing you know, he is on one knee proposing to me in front of this crowd. And I'm going, dear God, let the floor open up and swallow me whole. Like, it was
God.
And he knew that I would not put him in that position. Like, I mean, I'm not going to sit there and, you know, make this the worst possible evening of his life, or, you know, put down very abruptly what was a really good party. Okay. And then my girlfriend afterwards, she said, all right, what are we going to do? You ready to leave this? Yeah.
How do we get out of this? Yeah.
Exactly. All right. We're going to deal with this tomorrow. Tonight, we're going to drink.
We're going to drink. Thank God. So it was like an inaudible yes. You had to say yes to save face, his and yours at that moment. But thank God you got out of that. You know, one of my producers, Siobhan, mentioned that there's a lot of moments in this that seem very cinematic. And I felt that way as I was reading it. and listening to it. Given your skill set and your industry success, have you considered making this book into a film?
Do you know what? We're talking about it now with a couple of different people. So hopefully that a lot of people say that. So either they see it as a film or a limited television series.
Yes.
I mean, it has been compared a lot to sort of Sex and the City, as you mentioned, and a little Bridget yes. Jones thrown in there as well. Yes. But yeah, I think it would make a great movie or a series. I think it'd be a lot of fun. So I have been talking to a couple of people.
That's so cool. I totally see that. Okay, I'm going to ask you another crazy question. How do you know Phyllis Newman? Because she was the producer on the first year of this show 6 years ago. Was she one of the ladies that went out with you in between relationships? Because she recommended that I have you on the show.
Oh, so Phyllis and you back in my producing days, and I didn't know her very well. So we sort of overlapped with different things, but we've become over the last number of years more Facebook because we knew each other. So
yes.
that's how I know her.
Oh, that's
and
so
I
funny.
Think when I was doing the Canadian book launch in June, I messaged her to invite her. I guess that's that she must have put us in touch, or she must have said to you, hey, listen, this is what you should be.
You have to. What has the reaction been this far? Because I have to be honest, I was like so, it's like a page turner or an audio turner. I listened to you, but it's really like, I don't know, the word is it's compelling. You don't want it, it's a page turner. You can't stop reading it and listening to it. Part of the time you're horrified going, oh no, let her have some good luck. And it's just fascinating stuff. So what have people been saying to you about it?
Well, you know, I've got to tell you, it's been overwhelmingly surprisingly beautiful and wonderful. There's so many women out there who have reached out, and a few men, but mostly women, because it's a woman's story told for women.
Yes.
And they relate. Everybody has a story that within those stories they relate to.
Yes.
Oh, I was in a relationship like that. Or, oh my God, yeah, I know what it's like being with an alcoholic. Or, you know, I didn't love my, you know, and you're listening to all of these different stories.
Yes.
And I think what my stories did was just resonate with different women everywhere, or just talking about my girlfriends, you know,
yes.
the women I call, or the people I call our soulmates, right? The ones who have
yes.
earned that distinction, right? They have
yes.
been thick and thin with us and, you know.
Absolutely.
We are those people. So when I talk about that crowd, or where I talk about what I learned, or the strength I would find from friends,
yes.
and the reaction, quite honestly, I'm still blown away. I really am. It's
amazing.
It is so wonderful, because I wasn't a writer. I was a producer. And this wasn't something, this was just what, as I said, oh, let me take a writing program, and, you know, a week, you know, how to write a memoir, and I'll turn some of those blogs I've been doing. And
wow.
So for the reaction for it to have, for the awards that it's won, I mean, when I won this first award, and currently now it's won 6, not that I'm bragging,
wow.
but I am,
wow.
and it's shortlisted on one that I find out in November for number 7.
Wow.
I was going, oh my God, like this doesn't completely suck, right? Like,
not at all. You're a great writer.
Oh,
you are such a great writer. Like I loved listening to you. And there's also moments like that. You talk about friendship, the moments in Muskoka with your friends, and just how that was the best summer on the dock, drinking wine, hanging out. And people can just, you're right, it's so relatable. And your stepdaughter, that Quinn, the stepdaughter, that whole thing, like, I want to go back to that in a minute, because that was a complicated relationship that was sort of fraught with difficulty from the start. And I wondered that scene when your mom passed away.
Right.
When you had all the women over, you invited all the ladies over, but you didn't include Quinn because you felt that she would just add to drama and you were depleted. You
yes,
had
I was.
Nothing left in you. Would you have done anything differently? Or at that moment, was that all you were able to do?
I wouldn't do anything. You know, the only thing I would do differently, I would not have let her father give her the reason that, because he didn't tell her the real reason, which was, I am depleted. Mm-hmm. I just lost my mother. My father, I just lost 4 months ago.
Yes.
And there, anytime I have to share her with anybody, whether
she can't do it.
Children,
she couldn't do it.
Father, she couldn't do it. And I would tell her that. And you know what? That she would understand.
Right.
But she was told something completely different from her father. And that yes. was that she wasn't part of my family. Right. And again, I won't go into it because it's a longer story. But I was in her life for 12 years as a stepmother for 10, with her mother being critically ill. So I had a very, very important role to play in this girl's life. And the last yes. thing, had I known, and I didn't know that the impact, but had I known that this absolutely gutted her by hearing that she wasn't family, that would be the only thing I would have done differently. But no, I wouldn't have had her at that.
It wasn't the right, yeah.
It wasn't. And those girls, they threw me this I love you party, which yes. which was the nicest gift anyone had ever, ever given yes. to me.
Yes.
That wouldn't have happened with her there because her energy would not allow it.
Right, right. Was there one man, Christina, of all the guy? It also kills me about the man that you meet at the end of the book, who Edward with the tweed suit in the park, and just like he was like so perfect, and just how that what happened there was like, oh no.
But
was there one of all of them, if you had to say, a relationship that stands out for you as one of the best of your life in the relationships you've had thus far? And I say thus far because I'm sure there's more to come.
You never know.
Don't answer that just yet. We're going to go on a short commercial break. More with Finding Your Bliss when we come back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back. This is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And we're joined by author Christina Ford. And before the break, Christina, I asked if there was a relationship that stands out for you as one of the best in your life thus far.
I think John represented, because he's the father of my children, represented a really remarkable time in my life where I had become a mother, where my business was booming. And when we were happy, we were vibrating. I mean, we glowed in the dark. We were happy, that happy. Wow. So for me, I think about probably that. I mean, he was, which I didn't know at the time, was a poster boy for narcissism, a word I didn't learn until I was much later on in life. And now every young person's talking about it, narcissistic behavior, that I had to learn from my therapist. But that was a remarkable time. Because of everything, you know, like a great meal, when you have a great meal, it's not just about the food. It's about the room that you're in, the mood you come in when you're hungry, and it's every, it's the sound, it's the smells. And that's what that was like for a moment. It was a perfect
meal. It was perfect. It felt that way. It really did. And I'm so glad to hear you say that. That's so heartening because I don't want people to be sad, because there is so much hope and so much joy in the book. Because one thing about you, when you're in love, you're really in love. And when you're passionate with someone and with them, you're so passionate. You can feel it. Like, and so that's so heartening to know. And the fact that you learned that I'm not just going to settle for second best. I'm not going to settle for someone that I'm not feeling that way about. So even though it may not work out, at least you're feeling it and you're going for it.
Yeah, like I mean, life is too short not to. I mean, not to try. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to sit at home and not live?
Totally.
You know. Totally. So yeah.
You also strike me as someone who's always been independent, who doesn't really need a man. That was the funny thing. There's all these men, but you've had an extremely successful, thriving career. Now you have a new, in addition, career. What are some of the secrets, do you think, that led to you having so much success in your career world?
I generally didn't ask anybody for permission, even in writing this book, because I think sometimes we're looking for permission to do things. I didn't ask anyone permission to become a producer or start my company. I think it's important that you follow your instinct.
Yes.
But you can ask people for help, although I'm not very good at asking people for help either. But what I am really good at is looking for the gratitude or thinking everything that's happened or people who have been able to help me or just the universe in some sort of remarkable way. So I think for me, always trust your gut.
Yes.
And I have a very strong instinct. And I think most people, I mean, maybe people will disagree with me, but I believe that everybody has an instinct that will lead them. I think it's just animal basic biology.
Yes.
And the moment we stop listening to that,
yes,
we go off track. And a lot of things can make you stop listening to that. A jealous friend can make you stop listening to that. A husband, after you've had a baby and saying, well, you don't look pretty carrying that extra 20 pounds, can make you start doubting yourself. So I think that you have to really listen to your instincts and believe in yourself. And failure, it happens. It happens. That's right, where you learn.
Right.
Like, you know, there are some tech companies out there who, when they're hiring people, they will not hire people who haven't failed at least once.
Yes. Yes.
Reason, because the lessons they've learned through that failure, they're not going to make again.
100%. No. Oh my God. I did so many great things after my gig on the Shopping Channel as a host. Let's not even go there. That was not one of my finer hours. Great things happened after that. Oprah always says, out of great difficulty and disappointment and failure lies great opportunity.
And I agree. It's so true. And I think so many people stop doing things or hit a barrier because they're afraid. And my thing will always be, I ask myself the same question I sometimes ask my friends or my children, what would you do if you weren't afraid?
Right. Lovely.
And that's your answer.
I love that you started off as a PA. So did I. I was a copy clerk at the CBC working the midnight till 8 a.m. shift. Don't ask. That was a time, right? We paid our dues, right? Like we paid our dues. Like when I hear,
that, you know, we did.
Right? Like serious dues. But I love what your mother said to you, which was dress for the job and the position that you want, not the one that you're in. Fabulous advice. So you went to your first day of work. Do you remember what you wore?
I do, because that's my superpower. So again, just for what you want to do, not for what you're doing. And so I was being hired as a PA. For those who don't know, production assistant, the lowest of the low of production. You were going and you're grabbing donuts and cigarettes and sweeping floors and loading trucks and breaking sets. And I came in heels and a silk blouse and a linen skirt. And guess what? Not one single person got me striking a set or loading a truck. And immediately they said, well, the wardrobe department needs some help. And I had the shortest career as a PA ever. So
that's so cool. You got to do fashion all day long, like in your first job. Like that's so funny.
I was shopping for a living. How popular was that? That is something I'm really good at.
So great. You know, you also wrote that you started your career in film and television with only the clothes that you borrowed from your mother. And as the owner of this successful business, you became an executive producer of Imported Artist Film Company for 25 years. You produced thousands of television commercials, longer format programming worldwide. You won hundreds of awards. We mentioned some of them, including a Cannes Lions and a Gemini. In 2007, you had the honor of opening TIFF with your Genie Award-winning feature film, Fugitive Pieces, which is adapted from Anne Michael's novel. So it's so fascinating that you had this whole career. You gave a lot of it up to go to England with this man. That's when you started to write this blog.
Who I believe was my Mr. Darcy.
Who you believed was your Mr. Darcy. And that book was so disturbing because, honestly, when you're in that scene, as well, I totally see this as a film, that scene in the park with him in the tweed suit, the perfect man. He was the perfect man. And I don't want to give it away. But you found in your search for Mr. Darcy, you came to realize that all relationships are not meant to last forever. And that's another, such an important. I also love when you make that playlist of Puccini and Bocelli and you write happily ever after the seaside. And then you ask yourself, why would I be crying? Newsflash, guess what? I was bawling when I read that line.
Oh, you know what? I, you know, if I were here right now, I'd be giving you a hug because I love hearing, I had to take that take when I was doing the audiobook. I don't know if you noticed, and I wasn't too sure if it was because when I got to the end, I was at the end because you read it all in order. And as I get to the end of the book, and I said, well, you know, here I am, happily ever after at the seaside. I mean, why else would I be crying? And I was crying. And I say to the producer, okay, listen, we got to do this again. I'm bawling. No, that's kind of good.
Yeah, let's keep it.
I think we did do a less, but I was a mess.
I get it.
I love that touched you in that way.
Oh, deeply. It really, really did. It just caught me unawares. I just started bawling at that moment. Did you ever agonize about whether or not to write this very deeply personal, vulnerable book? Did you ever feel exposed? And what finally made you say, to heck with it, I'm doing it?
You know what's interesting about it? Because it was very much like journaling, and because writing is a very isolated situation, mm-hmm. you don't realize that. You realize it, but you're not, you put it out there and you're writing, you're telling these very intimate parts of yourself and sharing these different stories, but it's like a journal. So yes. It was only when, even like things like this, where all of a sudden someone can talk to me and go, God, Christina, you were crying at the seaside, happily ever after. I go,
yes.
Yeah, that's right. She knows everything about me now, doesn't she? Right. And you kind of forget a little bit that when I was writing, it was so insular and people reading it is so private.
Yes.
But it's when people are interacting with me that I realize, oh yeah, like I did spill the tea on a lot of stuff.
to use one of those phrases that our kids, and yes. I have the same thing. I love when you talk about that, where they give you like the rolled eyes, like, mom, those are words for Gen Zs and millennials, not for you. But I do it too all the time. There's certain words you can't.
Honest to God, the list of things I cannot say, mom, don't you ever use word baller again. You know?
And I'm always like, Nim, I'm so Nim for this, or I'm, you know, not whatever. You have these words, right? And lol. Whatever, lol's old already, but there's some very good ones.
Conversing with Riz, mom, honest to God, you're embarrassing yourself.
I want to ask you, you named the book In Search of Mr. Darcy, and who of course is the perfect man. And was this even more reinforced when Colin Firth played the role in the BBC's mini TV series in 1995 based on Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice? Was that how this all came to be? Were you obsessed with the idea of this perfect man?
I was obsessed with Colin Firth, quite frankly, who I believe is the perfect man. Did you ever play that game, A Night, A Month, A Lifetime, where you pick a celebrity who you spend one night with, one month with, and a lifetime? Colin Firth was and still is my lifetime, right? Absolutely loved him. But when I first started writing the book, that wasn't my title. The title was This Is Gonna Hurt.
Wow.
And then I realized, I guess when halfway through, that some best-selling doctor's memoir came out called This Is Gonna Hurt. So then I had to figure out another title.
And
in the meantime, I've listened to Rosamund Pike narrate Pride and Prejudice.
Yes.
She does such a great job performing all the different voices. And somewhere in there, I thought, you know, what do these men have in common? And they're all in my search and pursuit of happily ever after. And who is happily ever after? Well, I mean, that's, you know, Lizzie Bennet and Mr. Darcy.
Has it shifted for you, or are you still looking for Mr. Darcy?
I am blissfully, deliciously single at the moment.
Wow.
And I'm not on any of the dating apps, but I am keeping anything open that comes my way. So if something happens, that's great. But as I said in my book, I've never, ever been lonely in my solitude. My loneliest times have always been with someone sitting right next to me in a relationship. That's when I've been my loneliest. So I've got a great group of friends. I love to travel. I travel a lot by myself, which I highly recommend for any woman in particular who wants to have some sort of little bit of a cathartic breakthrough.
Yes.
Just learning that you're more capable than you are and doing what you want to do. So, yeah. They may come, they may not. I don't know.
I love that. I love that. What a healthy attitude. And you know, with that attitude, you're going to find Mr. Darcy, of course, right? When we're not looking, that's exactly when it happens.
Exactly right, yes.
It's so incredible. And we talked about Ellen, and would you ever do a book about your mother? You referenced that she doesn't deserve a few paragraphs, that if you ever did anything, it would be a book about her.
Yeah, Elena would deserve a whole book. You know, her story is so complex. I wish I knew more about her story. She was a Russian immigrant who, after the war, went to Australia with her father, lost her family, and then ended up in Canada.
Wow.
She had won a beauty contest of all things, and
she's gorgeous. Yes, wow, she was so like mother, like daughter.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm a little bit more like my dad, but she, I think my sister Victoria would be able to talk more about her story and her life, because what would happen when I would talk to her about it, she would start to cry. And every time she cried, I don't want that. So I stopped asking, where Victoria would be, you know. So I think if anyone should write that story about my mother, it might be Victoria. Maybe I can ghostwrite that for her.
Yeah, you can ghostwrite it for her. You also, there's a lot of life lessons and truisms in this book. Like I love this phrase that you talk about, because it's one of my husband's favorites too, which is that 99% of what we worry about never happens. Is that one of your favorites? And can you tell us some of your favorite tips and advice to your 21-year-old self, which is part of the book, but just some of your top ones?
Well, the number one thing I'd be telling my 20-year-old is stop worrying. Worrying, because 99% of the stuff that you're worrying about doesn't happen.
True.
Like, it just doesn't. So I would say that always wear sunscreen. Like, you know, you might not think about it in your 20s, but not all friendships are meant to last a lifetime.
Yeah.
Or even past high school. So thank them for their service and let the ones that need to go, go.
Yeah.
You know, I had done a blog just recently, and I had done a bunch of research, and the demographic, according to scientists, that is the happiest is women in their 50s. And they were looking at why women in their 50s are at the happiest. And I agree with this, because they still have a lot of runway left. They've got their health. They've hopefully at that point created a financial stable environment.
Yes.
Their children may be launched, and they are now saying, guess what? You know what? This is my turn now. I get to decide that I want to do something. And this is what I'm calling this stage in my life right now, is my turn.
It's great. So, so great. Well, you call this a coming of middle age story.
Yes.
And that's such a great way to put it. Some of the stories in the book can be heartbreaking, and yet there's an optimistic air and hope throughout it all. It's so interesting. It's not depressing. And especially the ending and throughout all of it, there's optimism. Are you by nature a very optimistic person?
I am. I am a glass half full kind of girl.
That's great. That's great.
And I'm grateful for that. I don't know if I was born that way or I somehow make a conscious effort. That doesn't mean that when I'm in the muck and the mire, I am not thinking that I am not going to live another day or whatever. Right. The sky is falling in around me. We all have those moments. But once the clouds part, I stop crying and I brush the dust off and I stand up and said, okay, let's go.
Let's move on. That's so fabulous. And I also love that the man does not get to dictate how the story ends, but the woman does.
I think that's what your listeners, the big takeaway is, especially too, if you've got women out there who are in relationships who think that, you know, well, I put so much time and energy into this. Like, what if I leave? I go, but your life is going to be rewritten in so many different ways. They're just writing a few chapters. They're not right. The whole book, you know?
That's right. That's so fabulous. I'm going to say a few words, and I want you to tell me just briefly what comes to mind when I say this word. Okay? Love.
Happiness.
Infidelity.
Well, the first word that came to mind was cheating, but that's sort of infidelity.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. That's what it is. Dating after divorce.
Fun.
Dating as a single mom.
Complicated.
Discovering self-love.
Freeing.
The importance of friends.
Paramount.
Yes, I so agree. Solo travel for women.
Essential for growth. Just like, honestly, like, wow. I've learned more about myself traveling on my own. And again, if someone's, well, I'm afraid to do that, you can start off slow. but that's where the growth happens.
Wow. The power of gratitude.
Grounding.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Do you think your book makes a comment about society? Like, what does it say about the world at large, about monogamy, about relationships, marriage? It worked for Ellen and Alan. I don't know what their marriage was like, but it seemed to.
Do you know what? They were married for 56 years. They died 4 months apart from each other. I mean, I think they had a good marriage. I mean, I don't think it was perfect. I don't know who has had a perfect marriage, but they were good together. I think life is hard. You know, I talk about the debunking of fairy tales and how we as children, as little girls, we were read these fairy tales of, you know, and then the prince comes and she's off at the castle and happily ever after. And you know, as I got older, I realized, oh, hang on a second. Well, Pride and Prejudice is exactly the fairy tale with Mr. Darcy coming and whisking off Elizabeth Bennet. So I think we need, as women, to change the narrative of not looking for, not waiting for, or expecting, or judging their life on success, whether or not that man comes in with a charge and good hair.
Yes, and good hair.
I think we need to set our own levels and guidance for happiness, and that has to come from within. And, you know, again, whether you end up with someone or whether you don't, that shouldn't dictate your happiness.
Yeah,
like it can't, because that would just be so tragic. That would be a life not lived.
Absolutely. What would be your dream for this next decade in your life relating to relationships, career, all of it? What would you like to see happen?
Don't answer that just yet. We're going to go on a short commercial break. More with Christina Ford when we come back. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. We're joined by author Christina Ford. And just before the break, Christina, I was asking you about what your dream would be for the book and for your life in the next 10 years.
Well, I would love to see the book being made into a movie or a series. So that would be fantastic. I need to finish. I'm writing my second book now, which is a novel, semi-autobiographical, awesome. Write What You Know, right? So
nice.
I'm actually going to sequester. I'm arriving back in Canada in October, and I am going up to the cottage, and I am going to close myself off for 3 months and get that baby birthed.
Oh, I love that. Will you come back on and tell us about the next book when it's ready?
Absolutely. So I think from that perspective, that I could see as my career and my happiness. I do love writing. I didn't realize how much I love writing until I started writing. Oh my God, this is great. I always knew I could write a good letter, but I didn't know I could, you know, like, I mean, write a blog or write a book. So I think that in that aspect, I think I will continue to travel to different places, spend delicious time as much as I can with my girls who are at their own sort of crazy busy lives.
What's your best advice that you give to your girls? I was going to ask you that. I'm glad you brought them up. What is the best advice that you give to them?
Pursue your dreams. The bigger thing is don't rely on anybody financially, is to go out there and try and make your own money, make your own wealth, because through that you get to choose, you make your decisions not based on what you need from somebody, but what you want from somebody. And that's a big shift in things. So
that's great.
I'd like them to be financially independent.
Somewhere in the book, you mentioned that you gave, and I want to say it was John or Edward, a copy of a book about Winston Churchill, but he never read it. Am I dreaming that?
No, that was on his bedside table. That was Edward.
And I don't know why that made me say, so my dad was a lover of Winston Churchill. He was part of the Winston.
That's my father was too.
Really? We do have a lot in common.
It's true.
Yeah. What did you love about Winston Churchill other than your dad?
You know, my father's British. And I mean, I think as a child growing up in the war, I mean, he was a remarkably intelligent human.
Yes.
He had very, very well read, very quotable as well, too.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Although my favorite sort of, and I'm going to totally butcher the quote, but the idea was when they were looking for money for to fund World War II.
Yes.
And someone said, oh, well, we should cut the arts. And Winston Churchill said something like, well, if we don't have the arts, what are we fighting for?
Absolutely.
And I thought that was just
fabulous.
like just putting it all into perspective. So
one of the fabulous.
Things I did when I came to London was I went and visited his grave in Clementine.
Wow. Nice. What is bliss for Christina Ford?
Bliss is right this moment, right now, talking to you. It is like I'm just you know, happy. Like I'm blissful that you enjoyed the book. I'm blissful that when you talk about the book, I can see your face radiate that kind of, and another thing. And I'm so grateful that what I have created, women are really, really enjoying. And to think that came from all these different relationships that brought me to exactly this moment. So like,
great.
Thank you, all of them, right?
And because you were so honest and transparent and authentic, it works. And that's another great takeaway for anyone listening to Bliss is when you show up as really who you are, people love that and they learn from it and it helps people. And so you're helping people with this book. It was fabulous.
Well, I'm thrilled that I am. And that's the feedback I've been getting too, is that the kind words from readers has been overwhelming. It's been like endorphins that have just been
so great
on steroids. It's just pumping through my veins. So how can you not feel happy about the fact that something you've gone through and you put your heart and soul into it, you then there and say, hey, listen, this has now helped other women or distracted other women or entertained them or just like, you know, you go girl or whatever it
so
is.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. It's just got so much for everyone. What is the best way for people to get the book and to connect with you on social media?
Okay. Well, the book should be available everywhere. So whether it's online, Amazon, Indigo is where I had my book launch. So a big shout out to Indigo, but the independent bookstores carry it as well as its Kindle, Kobo, and also
Audible. Yeah,
it's on Spotify too, so it's available as an Audible book. But then you'll have to listen to me as I as I have a complete breakdown.
It was great. That was the best part.
For social media, I do have my blog, Abroad in London, which I just rattle on about whatever happens to be going on in my brain that moment. I'm also on TikTok in search of Mr. Darcy, and I am on Instagram as Abroad in London.
Oh, that's so great. Well, we're going to follow all of those things. I want to thank you. It's really been an honor to have you here today. I don't know. It's just been so great. Really has.
You and I, when we get to Toronto, I think there's a beverage with our name on it.
There's a glass of wine. There's some Whispering Angel. Some Whispering Angel Rosé, 100%.
Yes.
100%. So great. Each week we spotlight a fabulous person like Christina Ford who is living their bliss. So if you're an author, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you. Also, if you're a singer or songwriter, we're always looking for people like you as well. Reach out to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. Also, what did you love about today's show? Are there any guests or topics you'd like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. For those of you who don't know, I'm also the Bliss Coach. That means I can help you get unstuck, gain clarity, and find your passion and purpose. Just reach out to me. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. All you have to do is search up Judy Liebrach. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook.
In Bliss News, we're so excited to announce our phenomenal giveaway courtesy of Christina Ford. We're giving away a copy of her fabulous book, In Search of Mr. Darcy, Lessons Learned in Pursuit of Happily Ever After. So to get in on this giveaway, all you have to do is follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram and follow Christina at abroad.inlondon on Instagram. Just like the post, tag two friends, and you'll have a chance to win a copy of this wonderful book. The contest ends on Tuesday, October 15th at 6 p.m. I would love to thank our wonderful guest, Christina Ford, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kylie, Associate Producer Eva Shabbatai, Associate Producer Olivia Vigiani, Audio Engineer Juliana Yannizziello, Senior Editor Lauren Kaminsky, Video Editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, Audio Producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. We're going to close out the show today with a short meditation, and here it is. In mindfulness meditation, we can become aware of the present moment in many different ways. One is by paying attention to sounds, to your breath, and even to your thoughts without trying to change what you're noticing. You're just witnessing those thoughts or feelings and watching them float away like a cloud in the sky. So let's start with a mindfulness meditation practice and just concentrate on the moment that you're in right now and whatever is present for you right at this moment. And just like Jon Kabat-Zinn's book, Wherever You Go, There You Are, just be present and begin wherever you are at this moment. This moment is perfect, just the way it is. So sit back comfortably on a chair, or you can even lie back on a mat, your yoga mat, or on a bed, whatever is most comfortable. And just begin by becoming aware of your breath. So just feeling it in your abdomen and noticing how it rises and falls. Almost like a balloon, breathing in and breathing out. Gently close your eyes, inhaling and exhaling. Just using your breath and focusing on this present moment awareness. If any thoughts or feelings come up, just notice them, witness them, and let them go. And let's return to the breath again, breathing in through your nose, breathing out through your nose or mouth. And what you start to notice is that these are just thoughts. You don't have to become attached to them. Just notice them, witness them, and watch them float away. Let's breathe in calm and let go of stress. Breathing in peace. And then breathe out worry. Remind yourself of all that can go right instead of wrong. What is good right now? Just trust that all will be well. Breathing in light. Breathing out darkness. Breathing in love. Breathing out fear. And wishing that all beings everywhere feel this sense of peace and love. Think about the inhale being really deep. Feel almost like a yawn with a brief pause at the top. And always think about lengthening the exhale on the way down, letting everything go, releasing it all. Whenever you're ready, thank yourself for giving yourself this time to practice mindfulness meditation. And whenever you're ready, gently open your eyes. And if it doesn't feel ready yet, you can close them. And open them when you're ready to do so. Now wiggle your fingers and toes. Stretch, yawn, and smile. And wishing you a wonderful rest of your day. For everyone here, I'm Judy Lee Brack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.